Stand as we hear the word of God. Habakkuk 3. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, according to Shigonoth. O Lord, I've heard the report of you and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw tents of cushion in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows, Selah. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for words of faith from an afflicted prophet, one who had great faith and anticipation of your good work. So Lord, help us to anticipate the same thing from these words. And Lord, may these words that come from this message be your word only, and that we go from this place changed and growing, knowing that we have heard from you. Now I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. She hurried into the pharmacy to get medication, got back to her car, and found that she had locked her keys inside. The woman found an old rusty coat hanger left on the ground, and she looked at it and said, I don't know what to do with this. She bowed her head and asked God to send her some help. Within 5 minutes, a beat-up old motorcycle pulled up, driven by a bearded man who was wearing an old biker skull rag. He got off his bike and asked if she needed help. She said, "Yes, my daughter is sick. I've locked my keys in the car. I must get home. Please, can you use this hanger to unlock my car?" He said, "Sure." Walked over to the car, and in less than a minute, the car was open. She hugged the man and through tears said, "Thank you, God, for sending me such a very nice man." The biker heard her little prayer and replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison yesterday. I was in prison for car theft." The woman hugged the man again, sobbing, "Oh, thank you, God, you even sent me a professional." How God answers prayer is varied, and our perception of it can be driven by faith, or it can be driven by doubt. Now, I'm sure that the story I just read related to you about a lady who locked her keys in her car is apocryphal. Maybe something's close to it, okay? But it is an example of a woman of faith. She prayed with expectation, and she was rewarded with a professional. Habakkuk prayed. He lifted his cry to God, and God responded with a perfect solution. And Habakkuk responded, "Now wait a minute, Lord." Because we may remember here in the earlier chapters, Habakkuk's prayers sound a lot like complaints, because they were. Because Habakkuk was concerned with God's solution. "Now wait a minute, God. Are you sure?" In fact, he didn't think that God's perfect solution was very perfect. And then God explained a few things, and Habakkuk saw the perfection. And we see his rebooting in progress. And we're talking about rebooting, how God reboots his people and reboots his church even. Today, as we reflect on what I just read from Habakkuk 3, we see that Habakkuk has realized how perfect God's plan is, and he erupts into a prayer song of faith, and it's a song of praise that proclaims that no matter what happens, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And in the process, Habakkuk is rebooted. And so let's look at it a bit. And let me just use this little quote. "Of course, he isn't safe, but he's good." One of Fiona's favorite movies is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's amazingly close to the book by the same title by C.S. Lewis. And in the book, Mr. Beaver is discussing Aslan with the Pevensey children who have stumbled into the land of Narnia through the old professor's wardrobe. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, read the book, because it's riveting. Read it to your grandkids. That's what we do. So they stumbled into, from, I guess, basically summertime in England, through the wardrobe into dead winter in the kingdom of Narnia. So in that book, you know that that Aslan, the lion, is the Christ figure in the story, the Lion of Judah. Okay, that's one of the concepts that you can get from that. And one of the most powerful messages in the book is this little short interchange where Mr. Beaver says, "Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? because he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. And I thought of that interchange as I read the opening words of Habakkuk's song. Listen to it again. Oh, Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. Oh, Lord, do I fear? In the midst of years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Here's what Habakkuk is saying. I've heard about you, Lord, and I'm scared to death. I've seen your work, and it's fearsome. So I'm frightened, but I know you're good. But I know you're good. Please revive us. David Guzik points out this great truth. He says, the prayer of Habakkuk shows us that revival is a work of God, not the achievement of man. Notice the prayer, revive your work. Often my prayer is really revive my work, but I must have a heart and mind for God's work, far bigger than my portion of it. Charles Spurgeon wrote, shake off all the bitterness of everything that has to do with self or with party, and now pray, Lord, revive thy work, and if thy work happened to be more in one branch of the church than in another, Lord, give that the most reviving. Give us all the blessing, but do let thine own purposes be accomplished and thine own glory come from it, and we shall be well content, though we should be forgotten and unknown. Wonderful quote. Habakkuk's prayer is also a personalized prayer we need to apply to ourselves, though. Lord, revive me. Do we pray that? Guzik makes a good point. He says, we too often blame the church for sin, corruption, laziness, prayerlessness, lack of spiritual power, or whatever. And we forget that we are the church. Pray for personal revival and diligently search yourself. And then he gives some suggestions. Check your conduct. Does your walk glorify the Lord as it should? How about your private conduct, which only the Lord sees? Check your conversation. Is your speech profane or impure? Do you talk about Jesus to others? I think we've heard about that this morning. And then one other one. Check your communion. Are you living a growing, abiding life with Jesus? That's how revival happens. Back to Habakkuk. As he prayed for revival, he began to praise the God who brings revival. By now he knows that if God is so great and powerful, how come I'm going through this hard time is the wrong question. Okay? He knows, as Susan Pevensey discovered, of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Habakkuk assumes the attitude that humanity has it coming, so I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to praise you and even rejoice in you. Habakkuk's rebooting continues as we see that what had been a complaint becomes Habakkuk's amazing statement of faith. He recites the history of God. He looks back through his history. And as he, with fear and trembling, anticipates the work of God, he does a review of God's work in the life of his people. These were the times when God literally and visibly showed up. And it's descriptive there through those verses. He gives the example of when the plagues came on the Egyptians. And how God parted the Red Sea and drowned the pursuing army. He recites how God led the children of Israel by cloud and by fire, cloud during the day and by fire at night, and how he defended them from enemies. He details how the sun and the moon stood still. A particular battle where the sun stood still until Israel had defeated the enemy. Al Enns says, remember the experiences in the wilderness. The glory and the brightness of God's people were tangible. It often helps to look back and remember how God was there when special grace and wisdom were needed. We can look back and see what God has done. When nothing's happening now, look back and hang on that till something else happens again. When you're worried about the future, look back and anticipate what God will do in the future. And as I was reading that, as I was studying this, some familiar words came to mind. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure, sufficient in your arm alone, and your defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting you are God, to endless years the same. 1,000 ages in your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, soon bears us all away. We fly forgotten as a dream, as a dream dies at the opening day. Now sing the last verse with me. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Still be our guide while troubles last, and our eternal home. When the going gets rough, think about that. Oh God, our help in ages past. And so Habakkuk, the words are descriptive. He says, with trembling legs and quivering lips, but with newly acquired faith, he proclaims, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. Don't hear this wrong. Habakkuk isn't defeated. These aren't words of defeat. They are words of faith tinged with joy. Yes, joy. And so we have one of the most beautiful confessions of faith anywhere in the Bible from Habakkuk. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. When I was at Messiah College, James Earl Massey came to be the Renewal Week speaker. He was a powerful and riveting African-American preacher. He was also a musician and a professor of homiletics. Homiletics is a big name for preaching. And so being a student of preaching, I went there. But that was all it took, because I didn't miss a single one of his messages after that, over that week, because I couldn't stand the thought of missing out on what he could teach me as a growing Christ follower and a budding preacher. And I'll never forget his statement of faith that he said in one of those sermons. He proclaimed that if he heard from God just once in all of his life, that would be enough. If he heard from God just once in all of his life, that would be enough. I was blown away. I was blown away then. I still am. I've often thought that of that statement and wondered if I had that kind of faith. Now, as I have extensively studied this short book that is mislabeled as written by a minor prophet, I realize that it's the kind of determination that Habakkuk had when he proclaimed, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." And it is the attitude that we all must have as well. Just a quick aside about Habakkuk's reference to feet like a deer. That's what the ESV used, feet like a deer. I'm sure the translation here is something that puts a picture in your mind of a sure-footed deer. We have white tails around here, and they're amazing how they can run through the woods. If I ran through the woods like that, I'd break my back or my legs, okay? They are sure-footed. The King James Version refers to it as hind's feet, not hind feet, hind's feet. And a hind is a word picture of the red deer that's prevalent in England. So when they translated the King James, that was the picture they had in mind. But what comes to mind really is this guy. Okay, some of you can't see it because of the stable. This is an ibex, okay? Very sure-footed animals. It's a wild goat that lives all across the Middle East, Northern Africa, and Asia, and I think Eastern Europe. And he showed up at the eating area at Masada, which is just north of the Dead Sea, and it's a very rugged, mountainous area. And I'm sure that he was panhandling for food. Okay, this guy is just me. When he stood there like a statue. Everywhere he stood like a statue, and he wasn't worried about people. Okay, and he's standing on this railing. That's a stairway, and he's standing on the railing, just there like a, and wanting food. He wanted a handout. Okay, and you can see here that it was paying off, and you can see that he was at home on this wall, because it's nothing compared to what an ibex can really do. This is a dam in Southern Africa, Uzbekistan, or something like that. That's a dam, and it's straight down. And this is a young ibex, but there's lots of them on the front, and they're licking the salt off the that comes out of the concrete. And look what he's climbing on. And so the picture in your mind, he makes my feet as sure-footed as the ibex. Okay? It's not just that you can traipse through the woods, but you can hang on when it's, and look, he's even getting nourishment from it. There's an awesome video of this on BBC, if you want to see it, of them just hanging out, literally, on the front of this dam. God doesn't just help us to stand. He makes us sure-footed to not just hang on, but to thrive, okay? Enough of that. So let's finish. The prophet courageously confronted God, and God didn't disappoint him. Remember, those first chapters, Habakkuk is accusatory. And God responds with his perfect plan. It's the beauty of what happens when we talk to God. You know, if you have a concern, talk to God, because talking to God doesn't change him, it changes us. Look at what God's response did for Habakkuk. He was transformed from a terrified and frustrated outsider to a front row observer of the unfolding of God's perfect plan. His complaints and his assumptions were gone. His heart turned to joy, and he looked with anticipation to what God would do in the future. I love how J. Taylor ends his expository commentary on Habakkuk. Listen to what he says. Habakkuk was transformed when he listened to and accepted God's word. The 56 verses of this of the book that bear his name reminds us that we must stop assuming things about God and allow him to speak to us through his word. A great transformation will take place when that happens. Habakkuk teaches us that. And I end my quote. And you know what Taylor is saying there. I mean, what we've been talking about for four Sundays is what Taylor is talking about. Habakkuk was rebooted. Amen? Amen. I would say let's stand and pray, but I'm going to have a word of prayer, and Jeffrey and Ron are going to lead us in a hymn sing now as we celebrate what God does. But let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your servant Habakkuk. Thank you for the example of one who was changed into from a complainer into a rejoicer. And Lord, help us to know that we can go to you with our heartfelt concerns, and know that as we do that, you too, you reboot us as well, and we bless your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've had some preparation. We sent out word about this throughout the week, that if you had a particular hymn in the hymnal that you wanted to use, we would have a bit of a hymn sing. And I know that Abigail has one that she is greatly anticipating. So maybe we could start with that one. Yeah.
Hold on. There it is. Okay. So now we've got a mic. If you are on Zoom and you have a hymnal at home and you have a hymn you want to suggest, then send it in to Sheila or Andrew and we'll try and get a couple of you in. We haven't done this for a really long time, so it's kind of first come, first serve. You raise your hand and I'll call on someone at random and we'll sing a couple of verses of your favorite hymns, right? Who would be first? Abigail. I knew Abigail would be first. Which one do you want to do, Abigail? To God be the glory. That's a good one. That'll be hymn number 16, but a good one to start with. We'll do verses 1 and 3.
To God.